Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
You know, it's really amazing all the things going on in the world today. Not like, I don't mean metaphorically today as in the present time, as in this way. I mean like today. Just in the 24-hour window that we measure our time in called today, from midnight to midnight, today. There's a lot of stuff going on today. And not all of it is important to you. That's what I want to talk about in this episode of Leading Leaders. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast, and it really does fascinate me how many things demand attention. I don't mean they ask. I don't mean they request. I mean they demand attention. We have a doodle at home. Her name is Sandy. I've recently added a nice little nickname. I've always called her Sandy Dog because she's very, very puppy. She's over 3 years old now, but that dog, she's like a giant furry toddler. And by toddler, I mean like a two-year-old who's always demanding attention. She will come to you and throw a toy at you so that you'll pick it up and throw it for her. And she doesn't care if there's only 6 feet of space to run in the room that you're in right now. Throw the toy. And if you don't throw the toy, she'll throw it at you again. She'll drop it in your feet. She'll drop it in your plate. She'll drop it in your lap. She'll back up and bark at you. She wants you to throw that toy. You better throw that toy. And if that's not enough, then she'll go steal socks or shoes or hats. She doesn't chew them up, thankfully, for the most part. She has not been a destroyer, but she will take them out the doggy door and lay them in lines across the backyard, and we have to go fetch them. If we don't play fetch with her, then she plays fetch with us. She demands attention. We have 10 grandchildren, another one on the way. And we have discovered over the time of raising our own children and our grandchildren that toddlers demand attention. Now, babies, they need that attention. And that infancy, that up to 2 years old, they kind of can't do anything on their own. I mean, once they start walking, now you've got a whole different ballgame. They can't really communicate well, but they can get into anything. But it's that phase like 2 to 5 years old where they do not like the fact that the world has moved on without them and they are not the center of attention anymore. They will demand attention. I find, though, that it's not just the toddlers. It's not just the puppies, like my Princess Chaos Sandy Dog. That's her new nickname, Princess Chaos, because she will run through, jump over, jump on, hug anybody that comes in the house. She's got a big bark. She scares people, but she will love you to death if you're not careful. That's Sandy Dog, Princess Chaos. But toddlers, they do the same thing. You know who else does the same thing? Immature team members. I mean, they do. They demand attention. And when they don't get it, drama. Just like a two-year-old, I'll scream, I'll cry. Just like my dog, she'll throw the bone at you. She'll bring it to you. She'll drop it in your plate. She'll steal your plate. Whatever it takes to get the attention back on them. Drama-laden, immature, self-seeking, self-aggrandizing employees, they do the same thing. And I would love to be able to say that if you just look at the category of the people who work for you, that you can kind of rule out everybody else and say, well, if I just have that kind of people, no. They run media organizations. They run ad agencies. They put up billboards. They want your attention, and they want it now. I mean, right now. And if I can't get it right now, I'll create enough drama to make you stop what you're doing and look. Eclipse. Not look. I'm not trying to make light of the eclipse. I have been paying as much attention to all of the news podcasts and the news stories and the prognosticators of this is the end of the world as we know it. It's another Y2K. It's, you know, buy your sunglasses here, buy your t-shirt here. Remember, you were alive when this moment happened. Oh, we could be not alive. And biggest thunderstorms in the history of all thunderstorms will happen today while we're having it. The cloud cover is going to cover the entire world, so you won't even know. We're going to fire rockets into the moon in the middle of the eclipse, and earthquakes are going to happen. Oh, we've already had earthquakes this week. They're directly tied to it. Oh, and CERN is going to open up a portal into another universe. And all of it may come true. Or like Y2K, it could be another Monday. And nothing comes true. But the fact that that is dominating the conversation, dominating the news cycle, I had somebody tell me, I think the schools are out today, closed for the eclipse. Not snow days, not tornadoes, not hail, not President's Day, but the eclipse. Interesting where our priorities have gone. But again, I'd like to say it's just in the toddlers, just in the immature, just in the puppy dogs that demand attention, but it's not. Our politicians use the same kind of shtick, if you will. Let me shove something in front of your face. Let me make this look important. Now, here's the real irony is that on the opposite side of that, when you're a leader, you have two other problems, and that is there are real challenges that they really need your attention, and because of all of the hype, they're not getting it. Also, though, there are real problems that are real issues that demand attention because they're problems which need to be solved, and they're being ignored. It kind of reminds me of that Now You See Me, the movie that came out, 4 or 5 years ago? The primary line in the whole movie was very profound. He said, the more you look, the less you see. Look closely at my hands because my hands are intentionally creating this distraction. Meanwhile, pay no attention to the person over there and don't even look that way in the curtain. Forget about them. Just look right here at my fingers at what they're doing. This is the important part. It's the distraction. There's another word for that or another phrase for that. It's called the tyranny of the urgent. Yeah, it demands that we stop what we're doing and pay attention because right now it's got to happen. Right now we got to stop what we're doing. Right now we got to look right now because it's today. It's just today. And please understand, I get it. There are wars and rumors of wars. We should not for a moment underestimate the cataclysmic impact of the BRICS nations and their manipulation of financial means of measure. We should not for a second stop and think, yeah, digital currency, whatever. No, it's going to impact the way you live. There are video cameras on street signs, video cameras on crossing signs in other nations that don't measure your face anymore. If you walked around with a gorilla mask, they can still tell by the way you walk. Your limp. They call it the gait. How far does your foot move? How far does it come off the ground? What angle is your ankle turned at? All of that is being measured by AI 24/7 in many, 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 many nations. License plate readers that are reading the vehicle you're driving. I don't know if you've noticed this. Try this little experiment. When you get out of your car tonight and you go into your home, go to your own map. I use iOS devices, so my iOS map knows my location. But because my wife's car has Bluetooth in it, when I get out of my car and go into my house, it knows the space that we've marked as, quote, home. It also knows if I'm in the front yard or the backyard or beside the house or right next to the little place that marked as home. And it also knows how far away my car is. Now, if you don't think you're being tracked and that data is not being measured, you're naive. Now, that by itself could be the tyranny of the urgent. That could be one thing that you're looking at going, it's very important that I not have a cell phone, that my home be a Faraday cage, that my Bluetooth car be disconnected from the system. Good luck with that. You're being tracked everywhere. Every street sign, every walk sign, every red light camera. Maybe they don't issue tickets in your city or county anymore, but they're still watching you, reading your license plate, knowing your movements. They know exactly where you're going. And when I say they, all of your Meta advertising, all of your social media platforms, they know. Kind of like that movie when they would walk in and the ads would be targeted to the individual. The digital systems keepers know. And oh, by the way, the FBI, the CIA, and most law enforcement have access to it. I heard of a story just this week, I believe in the last 48 hours, someone arrested on the border. He was arrested on the border for smuggling people across when it was his job to prevent that. He didn't know they were using license plate readers at the border and that his car was being tracked. Oops. Sorry, minor detail. Tyranny of the urgent. You're not paying attention to what could be super important, but you're paying attention to the, oh, look, the moon's going to pass in front of the sun like it does, apparently on a pretty regular basis. Just did it 7 years ago. Now, there are some nuances to what's going to happen today and the path that it's going to follow and a lot of conjecture about what the importance of that is going to be. And I'm not trying to underplay any of that. I'm just asking, have you allowed it to be an excuse for the things you ought to be doing? How many leaders have taken the day off, have stepped out of the regular zone of performance, are not doing what they're supposed to do every day because the eclipse is a good excuse? See, this draws me to that deeper contrast. When we talk about leadership, it's really easy to get caught up in the drama of your employees, the economic things that are going on in the world, the wars in Gaza and Israel and Ukraine and Russia. I mean, there's so much. We can be caught up in so much. Sorry. Been outdoors all week and the wind blowing stuff in just seems to be getting in my lungs and I'm still dealing with it. My apologies. But here you are. All right, so here we go. This is a book that I've had for a while. I started reading it in 2019. It's called Leadership by John Maxwell. But I want to call your attention to this particular passage. This is starting on page 206. Consistency, doing well all the time, not just sometimes. It's a profound thought when we consider it as the tension against the Laffy Taffy, if you will, the contrast of the tyranny of the urgent. Doing well all the time, not just some of the time. Now, he goes into a great, I wish I had time to share all of it with you, but get the book, go to page 206, read the insights from a book called Visioneering by Andy Stanley. But here's some of the things I wanted to point out. What Stanley described is internal consistency between values and actions, which is essential to a leader's success if he or she desires to gain moral authority. Equally important is the ability to be consistent over time. Here's John Maxwell's quote in this regard. He said, "Now that I'm in my 70s, people have started to ask me questions that prompt me to think back on my life. Probably the most common question is, John, now that you're in your 70s, what has been your greatest surprise in life?" He said, "I think of these as old man questions because nobody gets them, nobody asks them of young leaders. They make me chuckle because they mean that if I look much older than I feel, but I attempt to answer them honestly. There are two things that surprise me. The first is how fast time has gone by. I still can't believe I'm over 70. The second is the value of consistency. Consistency compounds in a way I never realized. If you do the right things when you're young, it mostly goes unnoticed and unrecognized. But if you do the right things and lead well over decades, it becomes recognized. You get more credit than you feel you deserve. That's the power of what I call layered living. If you embrace layered learning, as I described in chapter 3 on shifting goals to growth, your practice layered leadership by consistently living out your values and performing with excellence, then your reward can be layered living, where you reap the benefits of moral authority." Now, You might think that these are two totally different ideas, but they're not. And here's why I say that. The idea of the tyranny of the urgent, those things that come up that honestly, if you looked at them in the right perspective, they're very mundane. I mean, the earthquakes and tornadoes and storms and eclipses, they happen all the time. The real question is, unless you're a meteorologist, are they your business? I mean, what can you do about them? If you worry about them, if you think about them, if you shift your finance, shift your schedule, shift your people, your personnel around them, what does it matter? In the end, will it make a difference in the bottom line of your business? Will it make a difference in the growth of your business or your personal growth? No. But when you realize that every day matters, another great book by John Maxwell, when you realize that every day matters, what you choose to do today, the things that you do consistently, those are the ones that pay off. The things that you do because the moment of the tyranny of the urgent has demanded them of you. Now, that's a whole different ball of wax. Those are things that take up your time. They demand your attention for the moment. You have to stop what you're doing and shift over to them. And if you think about Dr. Caroline Leaf's statement that multitasking is really a myth, what you're doing is creating a hormonal multitasking milkshake, meaning if I'm deeply focused in my accounting, I'm doing my books, I'm keeping up with my receipts, I'm paying close attention to every dollar in and every dollar out, and I'm paying attention to what I owe the IRS and what I owe my clients and vendors and what I owe to those people that are supplying things to me. If I'm paying close attention to that, and then suddenly something happens that causes me to pull my attention out of that and emotionally change my focus to another person, a car accident, someone that I care about, an employee with a sick child. What really happens is we don't take our attention from here and pause it and then move our attention over here when those are drastically different emotions. What happens is the emotions of this moment of concentration and the moments of this moment of concentration, those hormones, those emotions get mixed together. We like to think that we can turn this off and turn that on, especially as men. We believe that we can compartmentalize. But if you've ever had the kind of boss that when they show up, everybody gets nervous. If you've ever had that kind of parent, that when they come home, everybody's emotions get out of whack. I talked about it just not too long ago. In fact, last week, I believe, the relationship I had with my stepdad was such that when his car came home, I could feel the vibrations of that particular car. And I knew when he was in the driveway, and suddenly my gut would just go insane. The nerves, nervous stomach. I would run to the bathroom. I'd be there for half an hour with upset stomach and diarrhea just from the vibration of his car coming home. That's how much I feared him. Now, when that kind of fear, emotion takes over you, there are triggers in your brain, triggers in your body, triggers in your hormones that react to that. We often forget as leaders that some things that we say, that we do, behaviors that we have, they trigger the people who work for us. We also tend to forget that we have triggers of our own. Yeah. And you may be deeply focused in accounting or deeply focused in R&D or deeply focused in hiring or deeply focused in an M&A that's coming on. And all of those things are highly intellectual, highly demanding, highly expectationed on you as the leader. But you've got to pour yourself into those 100% to be able to pull them off properly. And if you don't, then you may find yourself in a place where you're vulnerable to being taken down by your enemy, by your opponent, by your competitor. You can't leave yourself wide open like that. How do you leave yourself wide open? Well, you forget how important it is for you to be emotionally focused, to be mentally and intellectually focused, to compartmentalize yourself intentionally and say, I'm paying attention to this and nothing else until this project is done, until the deal is signed, until the contract is complete. I'm ignoring everything. No vacations, no nothing. That's hard to do. It's also really hard to do, and even harder to do when you have family members, when you have kids, they're playing soccer, and you have one that's graduating from college and one that just got their first job. And it's hard to disengage from these super important events and re-engage in an emotional event where your family's at. But as a leader, that's the role you've chosen. You have to do that. Now, when you disengage from your business and you set that on aside, you've got to be able to know, where do I go back to this? And when you re-engage with your family in a different way or with people around you, your parents, your siblings, and you know that takes as much time and attention and focus away from what you're doing as anything else, when do you have time for solar eclipses, storms? And so there are some of those things that as a leader, you've got to delegate. You've got to say, hey, I can't be worried about that. I don't have time for that. And then there are those other things where you literally, like a Rubik's Cube, and you're solving a different side. You've got to turn the whole thing over. You've got to find another perspective. I mean, you can't let it go. Some of those projects, like taking care of your wife on your 25th anniversary, that's your job. Nobody else can do that. Being there for your spouse's birthday, being there when a loved one is gone, right? That's your job. But there are also jobs within your organization, within your leadership, taking care of your people that you have to do. Now, this constant tension of the tyranny of the urgent, the fact that much of our commercialized, consumer-based society is built on the idea that we can interrupt the patterns of life, interrupt the business that you're in, interrupt the relationships you're conducting, and insert something that profits us. Let me just throw this new idea at you. Let me throw out this new project at you. Let me throw this distraction at you. In fact, I think you need a distraction from this project over here, which may cause like worldwide COVID type calamity that will shift our economies and our political trust and our medical field trust. Forget about that. Let's move on to the next thing. That didn't go the way we wanted to. Let's move on to the next thing. And meanwhile, we're still going, but what about my business? What about the money I lost? What about the clients I lost? What about the fact that this has completely changed the landscape of my industry? That's okay. We'll move on to the next thing. See, as leaders, we've got to be both adept enough to see and understand those movements in society and how things change, and willing to look at those processes and go, how do I adapt myself? How do I change my process? How do I change my internal compass? How do I change my core values? What are the things I have to be consistent about to stay on track even when all these other things are going crazy? Watch the dogs in the Iditarod. They get on target. They know where they're headed. They know where that driver is taking them. And they don't care what gets in the way. Over the cliffs, through the water, whatever it takes. We're going that way. There was a phrase about a man once that set his face like flint. What does that mean? I made a firm decision. I'm not changing my mind. I'm going that way. That's what consistency looks like. That's not easy. It's hard. Sometimes it's emotionally hard. Sometimes it costs you relationships. Sometimes being consistent costs you money. Sometimes you lose big. But here's the real question. What is it that drives your consistency? Well, according to this particular passage, what we're talking about is that moral authority, which is going back to your core values and going, who am I? What have I chosen as important? What have I put my focus on by my choice? Not the tyranny of the urgent, not the slave drivers, if you will, of the media and other forms of distraction that are created to be distractions, interruptions into your life, interruptions that take you down a path toward what they want, not where you're headed. What have I decided is important to me that I will hold on to for dear life? That I will face every challenge, every distraction, and still hold on to them. Here's a couple of them. Consistency establishes your relationship. Consistency makes team members more secure, allows for accurate measure of your growth. Consistency makes you relevant, models your expectations for others, maintains your message. I'm going to take that one a little deeper. When a leader communicates a vision but acts in ways that are inconsistent with that vision, the result is confusion. It distracts from the message and makes it more difficult for everyone on the team. If you've ever been led by a leader who is led by every wind of idea, every new marketing plan, every new product opportunity, every new company on the landscape, every war going on around the world, every little thing from storms to total eclipses to the newest, hottest car on the market. If you've been led by a leader like that who doesn't have a vision, doesn't articulate their vision well, doesn't stay on course what they've told you is important, then the team suffers with confusion. The team suffers with the heartbreak of knowing we've poured ourselves into this direction and now they're going this direction. They've pivoted. They've zigged when we zagged. We've invested ourselves emotionally, financially. Our time, my talent has been poured into this project and now they want that project to be the priority. I remember working in corporate America when it almost seemed like quarterly, they would completely shift the incentives. We need to sell a whole lot of this product. And so the sales team would be focused on that. We'd have training on that. We'd know everything there is to know about that product and what the countersell is and what the objectives are and what the features, benefits, and advantages are. We'd know exactly what the incentive is and how many of those we need to sell to make our budget and how many are we required to sell and then how many are going to be profitable. And a quarter later, selling those didn't matter at all. Nobody really cares about those. Well, I just got the hang of this. I just realized how I can make this conversation roll, and you're telling me it's not important anymore. And if you don't think as a leader that has a drastic impact on the success and the effectiveness, the productivity of your team, you're naive. You're not putting yourself in their place. So my challenge to you is to look at these things, whether it's the storms or the eclipse, the drama in the organization, the people that you know are immature and they're going to act like a toddler or like my Princess Chaos Sandy dog, and they're going to intentionally do what it takes to get your attention off of the prize and onto them, off of the goal and onto them, off of the vision and onto what they want you to focus on because they have a profitability in that. Their profitability may not be a paycheck. It may be, made you look. It may be focus on me because it's all about me. But if those things distract you from the vision of your organization, from the path that you're already set on, you will fail. Don't do that. Don't let the tyranny of the urgent, the distractions of life, draw you off the course that you know you're supposed to be on. Buckle down, hold on, be consistent with your values, focus on those things that are important to you, and don't let them go. And if you have a hard time knowing which one is which, drop me a line. We'll chat about it. I'm Jay Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast for Tell It Like It Is TV.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.
Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.